Lord, help us to commence by singing hymn number 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Hymn 938.
us to read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand, and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman, forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou hast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stone with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I'll make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do come and help us. Thou knowest our need. Oh, we pray for thy name's sake. Come and help us. We're poor things. Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Oh, bless us with Isaiah's blessing, a live coal from off the heavenly altar, to touch our lips, to purge away our sin. And Lord, that wonderful owning of thy people. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? The Lord of the chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke the adversary for us, as only thou canst. Lord, we've no defence of ourselves against him. Oh, it is only thy word. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do come and conquer in us and conquer for us. Lord, save us, or we perish. And do strengthen us for this service. Lord, do grant to each of us that strength we need in body, mind, but above all in spirit, that we might be strengthened with might by thy spirit in the inner man. Lord, that thou wouldst put strength in us, as Job said. Thou wouldst give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, thou wouldst increase strength. Lord, sin makes us faint. Lord, and only thou canst put away sin. Only thou, Lord Jesus, able to conquer it. Lord, oh, we do pray. Thou who hast once conquered on Calvary's cross will conquer in us by speaking to us, by assuring us. Lord, oh, by giving us faith to behold thee, the sweet witness of thy spirit. It was for crimes that we had done that is hang upon the tree. Lord, oh, make us really seek this. Leave us not to any deceit. Lord, our hearts most deceitful are, desperately wicked, then may we trust them no more. For Lord, we confess what fools we are. How prone to start aside and in our troubles flee from thy wounded side, to trust in self or something base instead of trust in sovereign grace. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to trust. Lord, oh, work in us that which that is work in the psalmist when he was so cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. We seek then thy blessing on this congregation. Oh, we pray then it might please thee to give a poor sinner a few words. to speak in thy name, and that thou wouldst clothe those words with power, so that the man will be lost sight of, and the man Christ Jesus may be seen. A poor sinner's voice lost, and the voice of the Good Shepherd heard. Hark, the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. It is finished. O Lord, we do pray, favour us to hear that voice. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, help us to look to thee as the thief did. Help us to believe on thee as he did, to plead as he did. And, O Lord, favour us with that communion. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. Lord, do grant us this blessing. Draw us, Lord Jesus, to thyself. None come but those that are drawn. We don't. And thou knowest where any fear to be so far off. Help them even now to groan out that petition. Draw me. We will run after thee. Lord, we have sinned. Do grant us godly sorrow on account of it. True repentance from sin unto thee. And Lord, the forgiveness. That blood bought pardon. That thoroughly washing. Do grant it. We pray for the seekers. Lord, may they be finders. Lord, may those that seek thee sorrowing, who weep as Mary did, they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Favour them to find thee, Lord. Mary, Lord, have mercy. Lord, we pray for these real things. We confess, Lord, how often we're taken up with vain things, secular and religious vain things. Lord, but one thing is needful. We pray, make us choose that better part, which shall not be taken away from us. To sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. Lord, what a remedy for all our woes. We pray for it. Bring us there tonight to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. Lord Jesus, none can help us but thou. But Lord, thou canst if thou wilt. Because thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the resurrection and the life. And Lord, thou hast a full pardon to give. Lord, thou art that blessed advocate. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, thou art that great high priest, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. Lord, may we this evening be brought unto the great high priest. Lord, what poor things we are. We cannot bring ourselves. Lord, send thy spirit down. Testify of Christ the Lamb. From the foe our souls defend, and with zeal our hearts inflame. We seem so lacking in zeal, Lord. The only thing we don't lack, Lord, is sin. We're full of it. Oh, we do pray. Cleanse us truly. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be very gracious then to this people. Lord, how solemn the words we've sung. Lord, prepare us. How swiftly our years are passing. Another year has gone since we last met on this annual occasion. And Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst grant us grace to redeem the time. Work in us, Lord, that we shall indeed be found, watching and praying always, that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man. Lord, bless Zion, bless thy servants, Lord, who minister in word and doctrine. Oh, bless them abundantly. Strengthen them, Lord, to go on when they feel to be that barren woman we've read of. Lord, oh, do bless them with Hannah's portion. Lord, those Samuels, help them, Lord, to pray. To pray to be made a fruitful servant. Lord, that thou wouldst crown thy gospel with success. If one soul from Hanworth, said one, be found at thy right hand, my heaven will be in two heavens in Emmanuel's land. O Lord, we pray for the churches. A godly increase, a gracious revival, the outpouring of thy Spirit, clear things, clear conversion, clear conviction, clear leading to Christ, clear pardon, the clear witness of thy Spirit. Lord, and our young and each of us, grant us clear things in our steps. Lord, make thy will plain to us and make us bend to it. Lord, we pray for the afflicted. According to thy will to heal and strengthen. Where thy will is otherwise, Lord, grant submission and that grace all sufficient. And where, Lord, there is a being brought down to the end, oh, bless thy dying people. Bless them, Lord, with the blood. On the doorposts and lintels of their house, and thine own sentence, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Lord, oh, have mercy on any who even now in that sorrow, the pangs of death, and Lord, bitter recollection. So many faults, sins, failings, backslidings, mistakes. Lord, apply the blood. Oh, we pray for the reality of a blood-bought pardon. Oh, favour thy people to say, I'm clean. Just God, I'm clean. Favour them, Lord, with the hiding forever of all their sins. And we pray, Lord, again for the young. Lord, bless them early to find thee, to know thee. Lord, in a little measure at least. And Lord, where this is done, grant an increase to know thee more and more. And may there be those fruits of that knowledge in the walk, in the conversation, the spirit. Lord, direct each one in their steps. According to thy will, provide helps meet for each one. Bring together and keep together those whom thou hast eternally appointed to be husband and wife. Lord, and help those whom thou hast ordained to live a single life. O Lord, may they know thy presence. Even that word we've read, thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. O Lord, we plead above all for the salvation of each, from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, oh, do not let us forget, and when we do, remind us of it, the enormity of the matter. The man was made a living soul. For the enormity of the matter, the fall, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But then, Lord, oh, to reveal that immeasurable redemption, that perfect Saviour, that great salvation. Lord, and we pray for that. We may not be left to neglect so great salvation, as thy servant Paul puts it. Lord, we all do, unless thou save us from it. Oh, then we pray, be all in all to us. Holy Spirit, be our remembrancer. We may remember our need, and remember the Lord, and remember his promise, and remember his blood, and plead it. And Lord, when thou dost answer, be our remembrance, O Lord, in days to come, of all that thou hast said unto us. Have mercy on Britain, over all those in authority, we beg. Restrain the evil. Help thy little remnant throughout the earth. Appear for the oppressed. Avenge them of their adversaries. Provide for them. Oh, provide homes for the homeless, food and water for the deprived. Lord, oh, watch over them, keep them. Have mercy. Pardon all we ask wrongly. Where we fail to ask, to grant in giving more than we ask. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Let us sing the hymn on the hymn sheet. There is a day, 'tis hastening on, when Zion's God shall purge his floor. His own elect shall then be known, for he shall count those jewels over. The hymn on the hymn sheet.
Thank you.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to Isaiah chapter 54. Reading verses 7 to 10. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 7 to 10. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains should depart, and the hills be removed. For my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Rather long text, but it seems all of one piece. Shall not be able to say all that might be said, but may the Lord enable me to say one or two things that he will himself bless. Firstly, we have in this text the Lord's explanation to his people. Wonderful confirming of why it is they are made by him to be in such a sorrowful, bereaved, sad condition. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Now, of course, that word forsaking doesn't mean entirely. The hiding of his face, the withholding of his felt presence, the silence in response to their prayers, the withholding of the Spirit, the permission of the adversary, God permitting the adversary to, in some measure, to a certain extent, prevail. Oh, how dear Job knew it, didn't he? How forsaken he fell. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, he said. When God hides himself from his people, they cannot find him, as Job proved it. I look on the right hand and on the left. I go forward, I look back. I cannot behold him. He is in one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. In this small moment, again, the Lord does not mean here what we consider, naturally speaking, as a moment. That moment that has passed now in my pause in speaking is a relative term. Firstly, in regard to the time, the whole time of the Lord's dealings with his people here on this earth. And then, an even smaller moment in comparison to a never-ending eternity. This may then, the Lord graciously bless what I say, be some help and encouragement to a poor sinner here who feels to have been forsaken for a long time. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. What is his purpose in so doing? We read in his word, the Lord trieth the righteous. Where are we when the Lord hides his face. You say, and it is because of sin. That's the cause of it. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. For your sins have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. That forsaking he speaks of here. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. I said this afternoon, I believe, you cannot sin cheaply. The Lord is a very gracious God. Because he is a very gracious God, he won't leave you to think lightly of sin. He won't leave you to presume. You know, we do need the Holy Spirit. I do. You do, my dear friend, to convince us of sin, to give us a real knowledge of the Almighty, a real knowledge of God. My dear friends, that is a false faith that speaks of Jesus as being such a forgiving Saviour, but knows nothing of him being a reprover, a corrector, a jealous husband. Oh, how rightly jealous he is. Oh, what a mercy. If in his jealousy, as we have it in the book, the Word of God, jealousy cruel as the grave, that is, God will slay every rival. Jesus will slay every rival to him. Now nature thinks that cruel. But who is the husband? Is that cruel that robs you of some vain thing? Is that cruel that robs you of some robber? Because Jesus said, in thee, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. How many instances we have in the Word of God of this. Jonah. Could God favour that man with his felt presence? While he was sinning with a high hand? No. He was made to feel it, wasn't he? Cast out of thy sight. For a small moment, not forever. Ah, you may feel you'll never see the Lord again. I'm sure Jonah felt that at one stage. But the Lord proved him wrong. What a place that man was in. Perhaps there's somebody here this evening. And though, of course, you're not in the same physical place, you're in the same spiritual place. Cast out of God's sight. But with great mercies will I gather thee, and he'll do it in the way he gathered Jonah. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Samson. Laid on the lap of Delilah, asleep. Bewitched by her. No fear of God in exercise there. Oh, the power of a woman over a poor man when he's left to himself. The power of a man over a poor woman when she's left to herself. The Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he stirred himself and said, oh, go out as before. But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. No, Samson, you're not going out as you went out before. All your strength is gone. He took out his two eyes, put him in the prison for a small moment. Have I forsaken thee? David, all the troubles that came upon him again and again. Ziklag, Absalom, and his own sin, Uriah and Bathsheba. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. David, greatly distressed, the people spake of stoning him. And concerning Absalom, he flees, goes up barefoot, clothed in sackcloth and ashes, weeping as he goes up by the Mount of Olives. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. The Lord speaks here then that his purpose in forsaking for a small moment is not that his people of themselves will return to him, but that he will bring them to realize where they are. And then he says, with great mercies will I gather thee. With great mercies will I gather thee. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. He said at one time, didn't he, Ephraim's joined unto idols, let him alone. What does he say? In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now there's the gathering, the Lord afflicting. If you're a child of God, sinner, if you have a new nature imparted into you, you've still got the old. It's because of that old you get at such a distance. Because of that old nature, you sin so with a high hand against the Almighty. But you see, God will, in his time, show you where you've got to. O Israel, thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. What a gathering. When the Lord bids the sinner who he makes to feel to be so far off from him to return again. Return, O backsliding daughter, for I am married unto thee. I'll take you one of a city and two of a family and bring you to Zion. But with great mercies will I gather thee. With great mercies. Why does the Lord say this? Because you know, when he makes you to feel that for a small moment he's forsaken you, you'll may be made to feel what great mercies you need, that that small moment do not extend forever. You'll find that in the small moment in which the Lord forsakes you, you don't come into a condition where there's anything but great mercy will bring you back. The great mercy. Mercy is undeserved pardon. undeserved favour, wholly on account of his goodness, wholly out of the goodness of his heart, the loving kindness of Jehovah, but with great mercies. The great mercy of the conviction of the sin. The great mercy of that call, return unto me. The great mercy of that spirit of prayer. The great mercy of the giving of that faith. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple with great mercies. Will I gather thee? The great mercy of the proclamation of the way back. The great mercy of the proclamation of the Lamb that was slain. The Son of Man lifted up. You know, when the Lord forsakes his people for a moment, what a great mercy it needs. Restoration. Forgiveness. Can blood such horrid crimes efface? Yes, Lord, such blood as rich as thine. The great mercy. How can God receive this sinner? How can God smile again upon this sinner? When the reason he's hidden himself for a moment is their sins. Have they of themselves repented? Have they themselves put themselves right? No. Why? He says in Jeremiah, doesn't he, only acknowledge thine iniquities? He doesn't imply there that you have the power of yourself to acknowledge it. But this is the way he gathers his people. Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. But with great mercies will I gather thee. Oh, you know, and perhaps I speak to those here this evening, and you're even now in this time of forsaking. And you think, yeah, it's in your heart. And perhaps you've said it to the Lord. If you haven't, try telling him it. Lord, oh, hast thou a great mercy, even for such a sinner as I. But with great mercies will I gather thee. But what I was going to say, and it slipped my thought then, was this. Oh, when you haven't heard his voice for a long time, when you haven't had a glimpse of his sweet face, what a great mercy you consider that would be. If you got one more word from him, if you got one more glimpse from his sweet face, well, he says, not with one great mercy, but with many great mercies will I gather thee. The great mercy of saying, though thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return unto me. Though thou art so lukewarm, and this is why I've hidden my face from thee, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. But with great mercies. And you see, this is the purpose of why he hides his face. You might prize his great mercies. You see, the Lord won't let his people go on without realizing how precious he is. You know, this is that which is not much known in the day in which we live, as far as I can discern it, and solemnly have to speak of it in my own case. This communion with God. Oh, but if we're his, he will bring us to it. But with great mercies will I gather thee. Out of his goodness then, he himself doing the gathering. Oh, gathering a poor sinner in the only way they can be brought. No man cometh unto the Father, said Jesus Christ, but by me. Unto him should the gathering of the people be. To Jesus. Not Jesus in the Word of God, but that Jesus of the Word of God in your soul's experience, in the real knowledge of him, in the Spirit's revealing of him. I thought yesterday, after I'd spoken, yesterday evening, those lines come to me of the blessedness of the Lord's people to talk with Jesus as our friend, commune with him as our friend, the hymn writer said. With great mercies will I gather thee to Jesus, to his feet, to the mercy seat. They are gathered one by one. They come with their confessions. What a great mercy it is to be brought to confess our sin to him. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And from all your wanderings to gather you, all your gaddings, all those things you've been preoccupied with great mercies will I gather thee. Oh, to be gathered into the fold. If a man have 100 sheep and one be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go after that which was lost till he find it? He beareth it home on his shoulders rejoicing, gathered. I'll bring you under the rod, cause you to pass under the rod and bring you into the bond of the covenant. They shall pass again under the hands of him that telleth them. Gathered. Oh, do I hear someone say in their heart, Lord, fulfill this for me. Do this to me. Gather me. I can't bring myself, Lord. Gather me, draw me, Lord, and we will run after thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee to Mount Zion, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Gathered. Oh, no more a wanderer. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. That yoke of his love. Oh, what a blessing when the Saviour puts forth his love and gathers his people. But with great mercies will I gather thee in a little wrath. A relative term. Little compared with what you deserve. Little compared with that solemn wrath, the lost in hell, are now suffering and they will never come to the end of it. Oh, the solemnity of the wrath of God. But why is it to his people only a little wrath? Because the Lord in the day of his anger did lay their sins on the Lamb, and he bore them away. Is the wrath then with their persons? No. His wrath is with their sins. Though he thy transgressions hates, and he shows his wrath. The psalmist said, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. now just comes to me like this. How many of us here this evening have known what it is to see the Lord's face? Paul said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord alone knows how many of us have seen that face. You'll never forget it. Though the reality of it may be called into question, yet the Lord will bring it back. I remember one of the Lord's dear aged servants now in a very low state of affliction. He said to me some years back, as he began to enter into this solemn darkness he's now in, longing to see his face, he said, I have seen his face. And I know if I see him again, I'll recognize him. There isn't anything fanciful, anything merely emotional. It's to see God in the face of Jesus Christ. To see in his face 10,000 sins forgiven. The smile of mercy, the hymn writer said, on his face. Another hymn writer said, sweet majesty and awful love sits smiling on his face. Now, of course, the Lord speaks here then to those that have seen it, but may I not bring into this word without corrupting the scripture those that haven't yet seen it. For a small moment have I hid my face from thee, you that haven't yet seen it, but who have a longing to see it. And he saith to thee, I haven't shown it thee there, but it is for a small moment. In a little wrath I've hid my face. When God hides his Son from you and shows you only himself in his inflexible justice of his holy law. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. Again, the relative term. You say, how long, Lord? It's not a moment. Well, how long is it? If it is 10 years, if it is 20 years, what a moment compared to eternity. What a moment compared then to what you deserve. And here is the answer to those who fear it will be forever and ever. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. If he were to deal with us according to one of our sins, it wouldn't be a little wrath, would it? If he were to deal with us now according to one of our sins, it would be eternal, unmitigated wrath. If thou, Lord, wert strict to mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Why? With everlasting kindness, the everlasting kindness of God. Surely this everlasting is from everlasting to everlasting. That is, from eternity past to eternity to come. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, he said to Jeremiah. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Kindness then because of my choice of you. Kindness because of my electing love. Kindness because of my everlasting covenant made before time began. but with everlasting kindness. Oh, the kindness of God. How every other kindness fades into insignificance compared with this kindness. What does God in his everlasting kindness do for his people? He took all their sins and laid them on his Son and put them away forever. He required of his Son that glorious infinite obedience to the law that justifies them forever. They never shall be condemned. Oh, what kindness to give them the Holy Spirit, the teacher. Oh, those of you here tonight and under the Lord's small moment of forsaking you and a little wrath. Oh, how dead you feel to be. Like Lazarus in the dreary tomb, bound hand and foot by sin. Your heart can't feel. It can't desire. You can't pray. You can't repent. You're dead. Now the everlasting kindness of the gift of the Spirit to quicken. That everlasting kindness, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, having laid down his life, his holy, sinless, incorruptible body, lay in the tomb 3 days. Thy dead men shall live. What everlasting kindness. The Saviour had to die, really die, and a death that no one will ever be able to measure. Oh, that death of Jesus Christ. He died under the load of all his people's sin. He died under all the inflexible demands of divine justice. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he rose in triumph from the grave. You see, oh, here is the safety, here is the security of the Church of God. They are in union with him. The Father raised his Son from the dead. The work of Almighty God. His people themselves couldn't even believe it. Jesus upbraided them, didn't he, with their unbelief. An hardness of heart. Now what kindness was that? Oh, unconditional love. Unconditional mercy. Unconditional kindness. Not for your sakes do I this, but for my great name's sake. With everlasting kindness. Oh, but that everlasting kindness when he drops that word into a sinner's heart. Yes, you see, when he for a small moment forsakes you and in a little wrath hides his face. Oh, what kindness you need. You know, it's that kindness that makes you feel his need. If he didn't with this everlasting kindness have mercy on you, you'd justify yourself. Oh, you'd continue to repine against the Lord. But in this everlasting kindness he brings you to acknowledge, Lord, it's only thy kindness can deliver me. A look of the Lord is all that I want. A look that sets me adoring his person most sweet and lays me abhorring myself at his feet. But with everlasting kindness. What he does in that kindness is an everlasting work. And it will go on forever and ever. But with everlasting kindness, will I have mercy on thee. Oh, my dear friend, what a word. God saying to a poor sinner, he will have mercy upon them. I have to keep going back, you see. I would seek as the Lord enabled me to speak of things as they really are. You see, this is what the sinner feels to need, and the Lord, this is why the Lord's done what he's done. They really need him to have mercy on them. We talk about mercy. The Lord, he won't let us go on like that if we're his. We talk about a merciful God, but what do we know of mercy? It's so easy, isn't it, to talk about mercy and talk about a merciful God. It's a different thing to really pray from our hearts, really feeling it, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I will have mercy on thee. When by his hiding of his face and his wrath manifest, oh, how you feel to need mercy. Oh, how you're stripped of all your fancied meekness. Oh, how you'll begin to see things as they really are. Your utter helplessness. Your utter ruin. Your abject poverty. If the Lord needs from me even a right thought, a right desire, before he saved me, there's no hope. But he says, I'll have mercy. Jonah, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. There I'll meet with thee. There I'll commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the cherubims. You speak mercifully. You convey those merciful words. Speak them into the heart. Oh, you speak the reconciling word and welcome the wanderer home. While he was yet a great way off, his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'll have mercy. I spoke this afternoon and it comes in here. The Good Samaritan. He came where he was, poured in the oil and the wine and bound up his wounds and put him on his own beast. He didn't say to that poor man, well, it's your fault you're in that ditch. You shouldn't have been going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You should have known better. True, he should have known better. But oh, the mercy. When he looked upon him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds. When he sees you with that hard heart, he has mercy and comes and softens it. When he sees you held fast bound in the fetters of some sin, fast bound under all the demands of the law, fast held in giant despair's castle, have mercy on thee. Saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. When did you last get? And thus saith the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, what shame belongeth unto us that we can go on so long without getting a thus saith the Lord. And not be concerned about it really. To go on saying prayers and not really troubled that we get no answer. Do you know what it is to the Lord to correct you in this respect? When Jacob was wrestled with by the Lord, he must have an answer. The Lord himself says to him, let me go, for the day breaketh. That was not because the Lord wanted him to let him go at all, but to exercise that in his heart and bring forth from his mouth that plea, I will not let thee go. except thou bless me. Thus saith the Lord. Thy Redeemer. He who purchased thee, child of God, when he tells thee, he is thy Redeemer. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us by his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, we should need him in our soul's experience to redeem us again and again. How often we sell ourselves for naught. Why, we've gone after some butterfly fleshly thing. We've got into some lukewarm, carnal, cold, indifferent, far off, prayerless condition. Oh, what redemption we need. No man can by any means redeem his brother or his own soul. We may let idols in, we cannot turn them out. We may sell ourselves for naught, we haven't got anything to buy ourselves back with. But oh, that which Christ has, that which he has offered, he himself, the Redeemer of his people. Oh, it was himself that he gave to redeem them. Concerning all those places the children of Israel were redeemed from in an outward sense, God says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. But oh, what does he say concerning their souls? The redemption from their sins. Redemption from Satan's power and dominion. I have found a ransom. Redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But oh, to hear him say, thy Redeemer. To have him prove it to us. Oh, if you've ever been fast held in that place of darkness, death, trouble, distress, guilt, and been brought out of it, effectually brought out of it, faith imparted, repentance given, liberty bestowed, why was it? The Lord is thy Redeemer. And that is what is needed on every occasion. When we again get ourselves into those conditions we've sold ourselves into for naught. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, so it's a covenant. It's a covenant. Why did God say he would no more cover the earth with water? Was it because he foresaw that men would not be any more wicked like they were before the flood? No, surely. Well, we don't know, but oh, surely men are even worse now. The world is in an even worse condition now than it was before the flood. It's God's covenant. But remember, when Noah came out of the ark after the Lord had caused the waters to assuage, God commanded Noah to make an offering unto him of the clean beasts. Now that represented Christ's offering. And we read God smelled a sweet savour. Even then concerning that covenant, with regard to no more flooding of the whole earth, it is founded upon the sacrifice. Not that the sacrifice is for the benefit of all the human race. Surely it is for the benefit of that portion of the human race for whom that sacrifice was made. And who knoweth why, as I tried to set forth this afternoon, the Son of Man is lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him, why is set forth as that antidote of death, that free and sovereign salvation from eternal ruin. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn, God's oath, by two immutable things in which it was impossible to God to lie, we might have strong consolation who fled for refuge. And what is it the sinner flees to refuge to? The covenant. And the mediator of the covenant. What God has said, on this firm rock believers build. You see, we need to be brought to build there. Are you building on that firm rock? His word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I'd not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. It is then a little wrath, not against thy person as such, but against thy sins. And I'll not be wroth with thee in that measure thou richly deservest, so that I never show myself to thee. I never hear your prayers. I never apply the blood of my Son to your sin-stained conscience. I will not be wroth with thee. Now, if there is something that is everlasting kindness, surely it's this. God says he would not be wroth with his people. What everlasting kindness. Never will he be wroth with them. Never will he charge them with their sins. Never will he banish their souls to the place they deserve to go to. Never will he cause them to perish with the wicked. Only with thine eyes shall they behold and see the reward of the wicked. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. But you see, he brings his people to him in that way wherein this is fulfilled. My dear friend, you will never know the fulfillment of this word, but by God bringing you in that way wherein he can fulfill it. Where is the place where God cannot be wroth with a sinner? At the feet of Jesus. At Sinai he is wroth. At Mount Zion, no wrath on his brow he does bear. No. Why? For Jesus Christ is that one who bore the unmitigated wrath of his Father. So his Father saith, I'll not be wroth with thee. No. I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Nor rebuke thee. You see again, to know the fulfillment of this promise, God will bring you to himself in that way where there is no rebuke. Look in those accounts in the Gospels of sinners that were brought to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Look into him. Look into him as the Lord, pleading mercy. Did he rebuke any? Did he rebuke even that adulteress taken in the very act? No. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. neither will I rebuke thee. Oh, no sooner we begin to mourn and feel a broken heart, but Jesus cries, return, return, and let me heal thy smart. If we are found returning unto Jesus Christ, we shall know the fulfillment of this text. No rebuke. No. Oh, the wonder of it. The wonder of no rebuke after you've sinned like you've sinned. What everlasting kindness, what goodness, what compassion, but what he had to go through that he could not rebuke you. How could he rebuke a sinner for those sins that he bore? When they are brought unto him, in faith, look into his bearing of those sins. Why? And you see, this is part of his covenant. This is one of the things that he uses to gather sinners unto himself. You know, it's his promises that draw sinners unto himself. Those calls of his with such a wonderful promise connected with them. The thirsty, I'll give you drink. The weary, the heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The sinner, I'll pardon your sins. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Earthly, natural things will be so in the end. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and the earth shall melt with fervent heat. But this kindness, it won't depart. Oh, sinner, may the Lord again remind us here of the vanity, the emptiness. You think of the mountains and the hills. And they've stayed in the same place all our lives, haven't they? Much longer than that. But they will depart. But he also speaks of things in our lives. The mountain should depart. A godly father, a godly mother, a godly husband or a godly wife, a godly pastor. Or things in our life as regards providence. The mountain should depart. A man may have been employed by one employer for many years. And then it all ceases. And it's like a mountain departing. You may have been blessed with health and he takes it all from you, or nearly all of it. The mountain departs. All things come upon us. We never expected. It seems like a mountain has departed. A hill has been removed. But the Lord says that shall be so. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Oh, some of you proved it. I believe you have. What a mercy. To have a God who is above mountains and hills. I was rather troubled, a woman once said to me, not long ago really, we've got a faithful pastor. I said, that's a blessing. But you need more than that. Can you say you've got a faithful Lord? The faithful pastor may be removed. God buries his labourers. His work goes on. My kindness. Oh, it is a favour to have a faithful pastor. A faithful ambassador is health. But he can't do what Christ can do. Nowhere near. You can't tell a pastor what you can tell Christ. A pastor can't tell you what Christ can tell you. He can't tell you your sins are forgiven. It's kindness. If there is any kindness that's right, it's the kindness of Christ in him. My kindness. Oh, unconditional, unchangeable. You offend me, he says, my kindness won't depart from you. I'll chasten you, I'll correct you, but I won't remove my kindness. If my children forsake my law, then I'll visit their transgressions with the rod. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. My kindness. And you know that kindness is manifest in so many ways. The rebukes, kindness. The woundings, I've wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. Kindness. For those restorations, kindness. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. My kindness shall not depart from thee. Because it isn't upon thee because of anything about thee. My kindness has been upon thee in my mind from eternity. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. The Lord doesn't say you'll always have peace. He doesn't say that here. He doesn't say the peace will not be removed. He says the covenant of his peace will not be removed. Oh, how short-lived often it seems the peace is. What does he mean when he says the covenant of peace? When you, child of God, that have tasted the peace, don't taste it any longer. It doesn't mean that there's no longer any peace between your soul and God. You're not enjoying it. The covenant of the peace. Jesus, the mediator of that covenant. When thou couldst no deliverance see, and therefore you've got no peace, still this man. Thy peace shall be. And you know, when this is fulfilled and the covenant of his peace is not removed, that means he'll make you feel when you haven't got peace. And he'll lead you in the way whereby you can have it restored. Lord, speak it into my heart. Peace procured by redeeming blood, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. Hymn 1103.
Do bless thy word. Oh, do cause it to remain where thou'd have it to be, in the hearts of those unto whom it is appointed. Keep the adversary at bay. Preserve it in their hearts for them. Fulfill it. Forgive all that's been wrong. And now do take us each in peace and safety to our dwellings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.